Our next guest on the program is a veteran actor and director. You know him for roles like Eric Stratton in Animal House. His Emmy-nominated turn as Vice President John Hoynes in The West Wing, but he has worked with everybody in the business over the course of some six decades as an actor. He also stars in a brand new Netflix series entitled Virgin River. We're so excited to have Tim Matheson back on the show with us. Tim, thanks for coming back and visiting with us.
Hey, Rich. It's good to be with you. How are you doing?
Doing just great, thank you. And man, love the new show. My wife and I watched first four episodes over the weekend. Carrie and his wife, first of all, our wives are hooked and so are we, but this is really a terrific series.
Oh, that's great to hear. I mean, you know, it's such a unique experience where all 10 episodes drop. I mean, first for me, all 10 episodes drop at once. And then you get different feedback from different people and very exciting. Very, very exciting.
Well, Doc Mullen's an interesting guy indeed, and already some character development taking place just from his initial introduction to the new nurse practitioner, who doesn't make a great impression, but now starting to learn some of this backstory, and it's quite interesting.
Yeah, you know, he's they just peel back a little bit each episode, and it's a fun world and a fun character, I must say. It's just, you know, and Robin Carr has so many books she's written. I mean, there's a wealth of material and characters and information about them. And but it's an exciting world to be in.
Yeah, and you've got such a wonderful cast too: Alexandra Breckenridge, Martin Henderson, Colin Lawrence, yep. And man, just watching pros like you and Annette O'Toole work together is so great.
Well, yeah, thank you very much. I've known Annette for gosh, I should dare say, 40 years since we were kids, and she's a consummate actress and wonderful to work with, and I've done several shows with her before, and so it's like it's like just falling in with the old team, you know. It's like we just picked up where we had left off before, and with many fond memories, and she's just great to work with.
Well, we had Mr. O'Toole, Michael McKean, on the show a few months back, and he said, I'm taking a little time. My wife is shooting a series in British Columbia, and so I'm going to be with her. So was he along for the ride while you were working on season two?
Well, he came up. Yeah, he came up and stayed up there for a while, and, it was probably a nice break for him, and because it's beautiful up there. It's just wonderful in Vancouver, where we shoot, and it's an interesting city, and it's it has just this amazing multinational population, and a huge Chinese and Asian and Indian population, and people coming to live there, and so it's really a unique place.
And season two has already been shot, so that's nice to know that you've already got a couple in the books and ready to go.
Well, Netflix just loved it. I mean, they jumped all over it when they saw the episodes, and just invited us back for more. And I must say, I had a great time too. I directed two the first year and two this year, and it's fun being on both sides of the camera and working with the actors in front of the camera, behind the camera, and we have a great crew, and so it's a very nice family we've created up there.
We're talking with Tim Matheson here on Downtown. Now, in our house, we also enjoyed Heart of Dixie. So what are the similarities? What are the differences between Doc Mullins and Brick Breland?
Well, they're both doctors in a small town, and there are a lot of similarities. There's a tonal difference. I mean, certainly The Heart of Dixie was a lot sort of a lighter comedy, a lot of comedic moments and more extreme situations and played for laughs and a lot of fun. And not that we don't have those moments in Virgin River, but it's much more dramatic, I think, and romantic. And it centers on the relationship between Alex and Martin. Mel and Jack and also Doc Mullins and Hope McRae. So it's really about relationships more so, I think, than the sort of the comedic interplay that we had before.
And I don't
heart addiction.
I don't want to have any spoilers for people who aren't caught up yet. But in the process of saying to my wife while we're watching, there's something there. There's something that's gone on with those two. And then not next episode, boom. Oh, now we learn a little bit more. And that's what's great about it. These are such fully developed characters.
Yeah. I mean, working, you know, from the books, Sue Tenney, our showrunner and our creator, is just a master at, you know, putting together those stories just a little bit at a time, and just, you know, something's going on, and then, oh yes, find out a little bit more, and then a little bit more. And it just keeps sort of evolving. And that's the fun for us as an actor, is you get into an episode and you find out a whole bunch more about your backstory that you didn't know about. It's like, oh boy, okay.
You mentioned the way they're dropping this on Netflix with an entire season at once. Do you find that's changed the reaction you get from friends and from fans?
Absolutely. I mean, because I've talked to people already who've seen them all, you know, seen all 10. And it just seems to be a whole new way of watching. And instead of appointment television where, oh, on Thursday night you watch Seinfeld, you know, or you watch NCIS or whatever show is your sort of favorite. Now people just binge them. I mean, it's not uncommon, like you said, Rich, that you and your wife watch 4 episodes, and so it's more on your terms. And there's a difference, I think, watching sequentially. If you watch 2 back to back or 3 back to back, people tend not to watch just one. They watch 2 or 3 or 4 episodes in a row. So it's, we're very mindful of that, and I think and Sue Tenney is our writer, our head writer, is because she'll make sure that the timeline follows and that there's no big jumps in it or inconsistencies, it just makes for a slightly different process when you're filming.
I think it's great, though, as a viewer, particularly when it's episodic like this, and where the storyline continues from show to show. I'm getting a little long in the tooth here. Much easier for me to remember now.
Well, and we don't do that. We don't do that. Previously on Virgin River, you know, where every week you have to sort of bring people back up to speed. You know, as you remember, or you do it in the writing. You know. Remember, like last time we talked, I said to you, and so you don't have to write that way anymore. You just keep going and keep telling the story. It keeps unreeling. And I find that a little bit more realistic, and it just changes things slightly in the creative process. And I really like that. It's amazing how this business has transformed from when I first started.
Well, you're on fire right now. You've got Virgin River on Netflix. You've got a continuing role, a recurring role on This Is Us as Dave Malone, on The Good Fight with Christine Baranski, Madam Secretary, which just wrapped. Man, you're hotter than ever these days.
Well, it's fantastic. You never know. You wake up in the morning, you don't know if your career's over or you got 6 jobs going on. You know, it's like, it's just the joy and the plague of being a freelance actor. But I've been, you know, my 60 years, I guess, I've been doing it. So it's like, it's really one of the things that I love so much about this business. I don't have to go to the same office every day and do the same thing every day. And it's just, you got to create and carve your own career out of all of that and have the mental fortitude. Sort of, you know, it's sort of like, an athlete, you know, trying to get from the minor leagues to the major leagues and putting up with all the adversities and the problems and injuries and things you go through. And then all of a sudden you get a call and you're going up, you know, you're going to the big, oh my God, you know, and you didn't know that call was coming. So you just got to go out, do your best every day and in whatever manner you're playing and what team you're playing and however they want to play you. And then one thing will lead to another. And I always just think good work begets good work. So I just keep slugging away at it.
You've done it so long. Are you still able to be surprised by things in the business?
Oh, always. And I'm still learning. I mean, you still learn some new stuff every day. And the business is shifting, you know. And also, that's one of the reasons I sort of really got so excited about directing, you know, over the years, because it allows me a chance to get involved in other aspects of the show that you don't get involved in as an actor, and to work more closely with actors to try and help them, you know, help them give the best performance. I used to remember I would do a show and I'd say, wow, I really did a good job in that. And I'd look at the show and it wasn't particularly remarkable. It didn't look that great. And then I looked okay. And then I'd look at a show I didn't think I did that well in, or I got, you know, 60% of what I wanted to do. And yet it looked, it was a great performance and it looked fantastic. And I realized that's the director. Mm. That's the, it's like the team coach, you know, the certain teams gel and certain teams don't because of the strength of the coach. And that's what a director does. You put the camera in the right spot, the performance is stronger, and you make everybody look better. And, you know, it's, that's your job as a director. And that's one of the joys that I have.
Do you like directing yourself?
Tricky, yes, but at least I know what the director wants, you know. I try not to let myself get away with murder, you know.
We're talking with Tim Matheson here on Downtown. I want to talk about some of the many shows from your past. Last time you were with us, we covered a lot of them, but you worked with Lucille Ball a couple times in Yours, Mine, and Ours, and then you did one of her series, Here's Lucy. What were those experiences like?
Well, she was one of the greats, you know. I mean, I'll never forget how gracious and generous she was to me. And, you know, she was like the first female exec in Hollywood. She and Desi owned a studio called Desi Lou that produced their show, but it also produced the Dyke Show. It produced a lot of other shows. And so when we started Yours, Mine, and Ours, she had just sold all the rights to Desi Lou and all the, I think the studios, I think for it then it's something upwards of $20 million, which today in today's money would be like, you know, $1 billion, I guess. I don't know. But nobody really remembers that she was like an executive. I went up to her office and, you know, she ran those studios. She ran that business. And then developed that screenplay for Yours, Mine, and Ours for her and, you know, and for Henry. And, but as an actor, she was very demanding. And, you know, just expected the best from everybody, whether you're 3 or 93. She didn't care and was constantly keeping us on our toes and making sure that we, you know, performed correctly and did our job well. I remember, would take me aside and counsel me about, you know, this business and what, you know, you want to stay an actor, you want to be a star. And she would give me insights about that. And I remember one time we were doing a big complicated scene and she was such a great physical comedian. And she just said to the whole room, she said, always rehearse with your props. If you don't, you can't hone it. You can't craft the performance. And like knocking over the milk or tripping over this or that, that has to be practiced and to be exact if you're going to get your laugh. And I think that, you know, that comes from vaudeville. And I was fortunate enough to work with Bob Hope and Jackie Gleason and Lucy and Debbie Reynolds. And, you know, their tradition dated back to vaudeville, especially Hope and Gleason. And I think Lucy, you know, had her toe in that water too. So, I mean, it was really remarkable to experience that generation of stars when I was a kid.
We talked with you a little bit last time you were on about the West Wing, and Richard Schiff was on with us not too long ago. And there are people who look at the West Wing now and say, oh, that was a liberal leaning show. And I always think, well, you must not have been watching too closely, because I thought it portrayed both sides as, first of all, caring most of all about the nation. And so I wonder now, 20 years later, is it a fantasy to think that we can go back to a time when compromise wasn't a bad word?
One would hope, you know, one would hope. I think we're experiencing hopefully an aberration in our history, but time will tell, you know. I mean, I think really, really what it boils down to, this impeachment is part one of the 2020 election, and then we'll see what happens in part two of the 2020 election. It's, you know, I think that we have a different media landscape, and So, not to get too political about it, but I think it's something that we're passing, and we can only hope.
Fingers crossed on that. When you were on with us before, we determined that if the current occupant of the White House was an Animal House character, he would be a little Niedermeyer and a lot of the back end of Dean Wormer's horse. But now I feel like we insulted the horse.
Well said. Well said.
Tim, it's great to have you back on with us. We really love Virgin River, the new series on Netflix. If you haven't, check it out. You're going to absolutely love it. It's great to talk with you once again. Thanks for making some time for us.
Yes, thank you very much. Great. It's always a pleasure. And thanks for the feedback on the show.